is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with the Wake Up Call. Steve Gardner is going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. We're going to talk to him about the Major League Baseball playoffs. Why not? Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, why not? Let's continue this. Why not? You and I were off the air talking about disaster movies because we went on that Twister rant.
Yep.
Flashback.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that, you know, maybe it's not dumb, but we may have found the real-life Bill Harding.
Okay.
Do you remember Bill Harding?
The name is very familiar.
It should be. It's Bill Paxton's character in Twister.
Yes. And it was Bill Harding. Yeah, okay.
And anytime, you know, we can bring up Twister, we will.
Of course we will.
Anyways, this man is he's an Oklahoma man, just like Bill Harding. He has an idea that if his town's siren goes down, he has a backup plan. And this is him playing the trumpet for if his town's siren goes down. That's how he's going to warn his town when a tornado is coming.
So if I'm 5 miles away, I'm going to be able to hear that?
I don't think so. What I'm picturing is, and that's why I'm saying he's like a real-life Bill Harding, I believe that he will be walking right up to the tornado and walking alongside the tornado to warn people.
That's
or maybe
right.
Just ahead of it. Because that's what Bill Harding would have done.
Yeah, of course. But you started this story by saying we may have found a real Bill Harding.
I'm thinking we may have.
But
I believe
Bill Harding
it.
Didn't
believe
play
it.
A trumpet in the movie.
No, he didn't play a trumpet.
Does he have other characteristics that make us think that he knows what a storm is thinking?
Yeah, he
Do we know anything about that?
No, I don't have that info on you.
Okay. Because to compare a random guy who blows a trumpet to the great Bill Harding in Twister who knows what a storm is thinking, you got to give me more than that he plays the trumpet, right?
Well, I know he's not doing it for the money.
He walked up to the Twister and said, "Have a drink," and he chucked the bottle into the Twister, and it didn't hit the ground. That's Bill Harding. That's what I want to know. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
you know what? He never saw an F5. This is only one of us that saw the finger of God. That was Joe. So... God, I love that movie.
It's
when
great.
Jamie Gertz goes, "I can't do this." It's like my favorite moment. She's like, "Honey, I'm out of this relationship. Bye bye. Goodbye. Bye bye. I'm out of here. I am not doing this with you." Holy cow.
It's the other thing's like, you know, you really literally chased tornadoes. I thought that was a metaphor.
Metaphor, right, exactly. Oh my goodness, that movie. Golly.
I mean, why is it so good? That's all I
want to
know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I do not know why it's so good. I watch it all the time. It's got some of the cheesiest dialogue I have ever heard in any movie. I wonder if the actor's like, "Can we change this script? I cannot read this."
Yeah, like,
you know, like what, like Harrison Ford did with George Lucas. Like, I'm not reading this.
Yeah.
God, this is bad.
Well, what I hope is that they all got together. They read the script. They got together and go, "Hey guys, writers, director, this movie's a little too serious. You're
right.
Trying too hard to almost make it, because in a weird way, it's kind of, it feels like it's supposed to be a horror movie."
Right, right.
And the tornado is the Michael Myers of this film.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's like, you know, but you can have a lot more fun if we almost go like B-rated science fiction fanfare type of movie and just, you know, almost make a mockery of it.
And
keep it serious, but make a mockery of it.
How great was Aunt Meg?
Oh, my God.
They showed up to her house, and she gave them steak and eggs.
Yeah.
She made them all steak and eggs in that movie. I love it.
I mean, where'd you get all that beef, Meg?
Yeah. See any cows?
No.
Awesome.
And I just love the fact, I mean, you know, everyone's allowed to take a shower in her house. I mean, you know, she's got that kind of time. And
see, man, I live in an area that has a tornado siren, and it goes off on the first Saturday of every month. And you know what it is? It is the reminder of the town that we live in a tornado area that reminds you that we have a tornado siren. That's what it reminds me of every Saturday. Like some days I'm just going outside on a Saturday night and I hear it and I go, I live in a town that has a tornado siren. I get it. Okay. I totally forgot. But yes, I do. I live in a town that reminds me every month that there are tornadoes that could be coming, and this is what you want to listen to.
See, I think I live in a town that has tornado sirens or used to have tornado sirens because the structures are still there.
Yeah.
Like you drive around, I mean, you can see what the siren looks like. They never work. They never use them. But when I lived in Hawaii, we did have the tsunami siren go from time to time.
Yeah.
And that was a constant reminder too. Like you said, like, yeah, when that thing wails, I better make sure that I am in high ground. Not down on the seabed.
Years ago, I was driving one night and it was a real thunderstorm and I wasn't that far from home. I was only about 2 miles from home, but I heard the siren go off. And I was in my car, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I had to get home. And I got home. Nothing happened. But I was, I'm in the car. I'm like, oh, my God, I saw Twister. These things would just be, I could be lifted up and transported to the next county.
Or you could just slide, side to side on a bridge, get spun around a couple times, and that one, then you can jump out and hug your ex.
That's right.
In front of your current girlfriend.
Or
fiancé.
I love it. Jamie Gertz, I got your back. I'm glad you
got a raw deal.
You got a raw deal. She got the rawest deal of them all. And by the way, real quick, I know I'm on my Twister rant now, so I just might as well keep going.
Just going. Right? Just go.
By the way.
That's why I brought the story up, really. It's just so we can talk Twister on a Friday.
Bill should be ashamed of himself. He took her into an unprepared person into a very, very dangerous situation.
Yeah.
He should have said to her, honey, I'm going to go do this very, very dangerous thing with a bunch of people that really know what to do in a very dangerous thing. You don't. So why don't you go as far away from me as possible, and I'll meet you up in a couple of days. But no, he was like, get in with Dusty. What was he thinking?
Almost immediately.
I'm going to go with my ex. You go with Dusty.
Is there not a more perfect scene than, when – They're having it out, just as trying to pick up the pieces of Dorothy, and she and Jamie Gertz is hearing everything on the radio with the umbrella that's like upside down, falling apart.
She did nothing wrong.
And Dusty's just standing there. I mean, Dusty's doing the umbrella flex for her. He's just holding the umbrella for her. Like, God, you shouldn't be listening to this.
I love when we talk Twister, man. I don't know why we do it, but we've done it. We do it every time we bring up Twister.
Yeah, the only problem I have with the movie is that it never made sense when they went through the house.
Yeah, that's true.
He started on the ground floor, kind of went up the stairs and ended out the house, but the house was sideways the entire time, almost upside down.
I never understand why Jonah was the villain. Right? He was trying to do the exact same thing they were.
Yeah.
Right? In the end, I don't care. Like, if I'm a citizen, I don't care if he's making money, not making money, in it for the money, not the science. If he can give me a system that gets me 15 minutes to safety, I don't care if he's a trillionaire. Are you kidding me? God bless you. And yet he was the villain that died and they were like, we were supposed to be happy about it.
Yeah.
Oh, the good people are going to have their technology advance now. I couldn't have cared less which one of those groups created the safety mechanism, right?
Very true.
Jonah to be the villain, have him create a tornado machine that he can conjure them up at various times.
And he lost control of it.
Right, he lost control of it. And that's why they have to go chase the tornado, because he lost control of his tornado-making machine. With my machine, I will rule the world. That's what I'm talking about.
Because you're in it for the money, not the science.
Not the science. And I say that all the time. I say that all the time in my house.
I dropped that one and also Jeff Goldblum's.
Oh, yeah, from Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You were preoccupied if you could. You never stopped to think if you should.
That's right. Slam on the table. And you package it. Slap it back.
End of flashback.
There was a period of time in the 90s where that seemed all Hollywood was doing.
That's all they wanted to do.
That's all they wanted to do was these big budget CGI. It's like, I don't know when CGI really came in, but it's almost like it was like the new toy and everyone was like, what can we do with this?
Now,
asteroids, volcanoes, twisters.
I will tell you this with Dante's Peak, that some of it was CGI, but I remember where I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
There's an airport there called Van Nuys Airport, right? It's one of the busiest commercial, not commercial, private airports in the world, because that's where all the celebrities fly in and out of. So you have these, like, you know, Lear jets taking off, landing all the time. It's, you know, because it's the gateway to Hollywood. I'm bringing this up and that airport up because on one of the, like, parking areas, like, where I don't know what to call it, you know, the tarmac areas.
Right.
They had the full scale. They were filming Dante's Peak there.
Oh, no kidding.
So they had, like, the scene with the mountain in the background and the you remember when, like, the freeway bridge gets blown away?
Yeah.
That was filmed there in just smaller scale.
Oh, no kidding.
So we would go there all the time, and you'd see, like, you know, all these toy cars and the bridge. You got the volcano in the background, and that's how it was filmed. It was filmed outside to, you know, make it look like it was blown up, and then they just, you know, superimpose it on a film.
They did. There was a period of time from, like, the mid-90s up to the 2000s where you got Independence Day,
yep.
You got Deep Impact, you had Armageddon, you had Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones, you had Dante's Peaks with Pierce Brosnan, you had Twister. Am I missing any of that sort of genre, that sort of era?
I'm certain there's another.
You know, and that was a pretty good run of disaster movies. I remember, I don't know how many of you guys out there were old enough to remember, the first time I saw the trailer for Independence Day, my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't wait to go see that movie.
Yeah.
They were blowing up iconic. That was something we didn't really see a lot of in terms of movies. Like, they didn't blow up the White House. You know, like you would make a movie where America would triumph, right? But they didn't blow up the White House or the Empire State Building or anything like that. And then this movie was out, coming out, and, like, they're blowing up everything. Oh, my God. Everyone's dying. And same thing with, like, Dante's Peak. I mean, I don't want to say I learned a lesson about a volcano during a Hollywood movie, but I learned a bit about volcanoes during that holiday.
No,
you know what I mean?
And basically,
like, I never lived near a volcano, and I was like, how does when a volcano erupts, what is it like? What happens? Right? I remember when I was a kid, St. Helens blew.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, what exactly happens with a volcano?
That's what I was going to bring up. I mean, Dante's Peak's kind of like the biography of Mount St. Helens.
Yeah, right.
You know, right. It's just, yes, it produces lava, but it's not all about just the lava. That was the first time you learned about, like, that volcanic ash cloud.
Yeah, because you grow up, you learn about Pompeii, right? Yeah. Mount Vesuvius.
You know, it's
and
what
whatnot.
Killed the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
you know, they melted in lava and blah, blah, blah.
And you're like, and you're watching this movie, and you're like, that cloud is going to, it just engulfs the town. It burns everything. It's just, it was great.
Well, ScreenRant.com has a ranking of the 10 best disaster movies of the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Number 10, Volcano. 9 is Dante's Peak. Too low for both of those, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Number 8 is Backdraft.
Backdraft is a disaster movie?
I guess. I mean, it's fire.
I wouldn't call it that. It was arson, though.
It was arson.
Like, the guy who was in the firehouse, he planted all of those fires to hurt
Scott Glenn.
Yeah, Scott Glenn.
when he plays a good guy in a movie, I have a hard time believing it.
Yeah.
Because he was so good.
I liked the name. Who's Goldie Hawn's husband? Kurt Russell.
Oh, Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I like, roll the pose, Proby.
Yeah.
Says that to his brother.
And his brother's like getting down on, what's her name?
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah. God, she was hot in that movie.
She was great.
Number 7 and 6 are, you know, similar movies again. Deep Impact, Armageddon.
Yeah, one's crazy. One is a little bit more realistic. The other one's just insane fun.
Yeah.
But still, and you know what? Steve Buscemi in Armageddon, when he goes, we shouldn't even be here.
What are you talking about, man? I had a great spot.
I think it was Steve Buscemi.
Out.
It might have been the other guy. One of them said.
No, Steve Buscemi.
Was it Steve Buscemi that said, we shouldn't even be
here? Yeah, that was
him. Yeah. That was great. I haven't seen that movie.
My favorite line, though, is, you know, the Russian guy. Russian parts, American parts, all made in Taiwan.
Yeah. They sent drillers up to drill a hole in an asteroid.
Number 5 is Outbreak, which I don't see as a disaster movie.
Yeah, that was.
Now, especially now, it's too real life.
That was Donald Sutherland, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the monkey. And they quarantined. They want the end of the climax of the movie is that they wanted to blow up this entire town.
Right.
They wanted to kill everybody that was quarantined in this town. And they convinced them. They convinced the young Air Force guy not to do it.
Number four, Independence Day.
Now, why not?
That's
right?
Number three, Titanic.
Okay, yeah, that's
I think
pretty,
that's what that
was. That, you know what? That was probably the biggest one of the year.
Well, that one ended the disaster movie genre.
Right, right.
I think it was like once it hit that, I was like, forget it. Number two, Apollo 13.
Again,
that's more of a biography. It's not really a disaster.
That was not only more of a biography, and that was a feel good, great look at what NASA can do.
Yeah.
Holy cow, the geeks won the day, man.
And the number one disaster movie of the 90s is. Twister.
Twister! The show's favorite.
It's the only reason why I brought this article up, because they got it right.
That's right. They did get it right. All right. Steve Gardner next as we preview the ALCS and the NLCS. We continue with the Wake Up Call.